Well, we're in the Christmas season. We're going to focus this month on the birth of our Savior. I wish more of the world would take that attitude about the Christmas season, but it is what it is. But that's what it means to me. Everybody likes getting gifts and the family dinners and that, but as Greg pointed out at the table, our focus needs to be on the fact that God the Word became a man and came here to save us. And that's what Christmas should mean to us. I entitled this God's Design for Man. It's out of Genesis 3, verses 1 through 15. I figure if we're going to talk about the Savior, I want to talk about the fall. I want to begin at the beginning. I know you're all familiar with this. You probably all got a grasp on it, but it doesn't hurt us to talk about it. The scriptures say, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. But God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.' But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And when they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, 'Where are you?' And he said, 'I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself.' He said, 'Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree which I commanded you not to eat?' The man said, 'The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate.' Then the Lord God said to the woman, 'What is this that you have done?' The woman said, 'The serpent deceived me, and I ate.' The Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel.' Lord, I thank you that you said wherever two or three are gathered in your name that you're in the midst. And we welcome you into our midst this morning. Lord Jesus, we just pray that the truth of your word will be taken to our hearts, that it will build our faith, that it will give us an assurance, Lord, and that we will have a better understanding of the things that happened and things that did happen. And we praise you for the things that are going to happen, Lord. For you promised one day you're going to return and take us to be with you. And we look forward to that, Lord. But while we're here, we have a task to do. I pray you will lay it upon every heart in here what it is that you have called us to do, how we may honor and glorify you in our lives. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord God created the heavens and the earth and all that was within them. The last thing he created was the man and the woman. And the scriptures say, "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good." I included that in there because over the years, it's funny if people find out you're a minister sometimes they want to give you their opinions, or they want to talk to you, even if they don't know you. I heard you're a minister. Well, yeah. Well, here's what I think. Here's why I'm not a Christian. You know, this is why I don't go to church. And it's not things I solicit, but it happens. And maybe it happens to you too. People find out you're a believer, you know, and they want to bounce things off of you. I've heard more people over the years say, how can you believe in a good God when there's so much bad in the world? I'm reading in the Psalms right now, my personal readings, and I'm reading the New Living. I bought it 20-some years ago for a Bible college class, and I never have read it all the way through, so I'm reading it all the way through. And David said in one of the Psalms, my enemies say, where is your God? And you know, we feel like that sometimes. We know he's with us, but sometimes we wish he'd show up a little stronger in our defense. And I've had people tell me, how can you believe in a good God when there's so much evil? And I tell them, God didn't create that. This isn't what he created. Now, we are what he created. This planet's what he's created, but it wasn't his original design. The scriptures say that everything God created was very good, including man and woman. They were very good. I had one professor say that, I don't know if you could call Adam and Eve moral because they didn't know right or good or evil or right or wrong. All they knew was God. I said, hey, they were good. That's good enough for me. My wife asked me the other day, what do you think would have happened if Adam hadn't ate the fruit after Eve did? I said, well, God's a just God. He may have punished her. But it said their eyes weren't open till he ate the fruit. She ate it, nothing happened. He ate it, wham. The serpent, that Hebrew word serpent, literally means snake. But it also means to hiss. It implies a whisper, I have trouble with those words. Someone who whispers magic spells, an enchanter, a seducer. That fits our enemy. So God made this perfect world. He made the perfect couple. He placed them in a garden. Everything they needed to eat was there. But there was a tree there that God put there called the knowledge of good and evil. And I've had people over the years say, why did God put that there? And my answer is, I don't know. Ask him. You know, and I've heard people say, well, see, God created evil. Because he put the tree of good and evil in the garden, so he created evil. The Bible doesn't say it was the tree of good and evil. It says the knowledge of good and evil. I agree with C.S. Lewis. We gauge what is evil by what we know to be good. And since God has always been here, he's had no beginning, there's always been good. But the potential for evil has always been here. Evil's not an entity. It's not the force like you see on some movies, the dark side. C.S. Lewis said that it amazed him that God knew what was going to happen. He knew the potential for evil, and he went ahead and did it anyway. Now, God said he can't be tempted with evil. Does he know what evil is? Yes. And he told the man, he said, I don't want you eating off that tree. Well, why did he put it there? I don't know. Some say it was a test. Like I said, I've heard some say, well, God created evil. Why would God create something he hated? That would make no sense. For God to create something that he detests, that he had to send somebody to die on our behalf because of it. Sometimes people got too much time on their hands, I think, and they sit around and say, well, we need to make a theory for this, or let's make a doctrine. God is holy and just and good. And it said everything he made was good. If he'd have created evil, it'd say everything but that. God would have said everything's good but evil. I had to create evil. I've been told God created evil to glorify himself. You all know my theological rebuttal for that. God doesn't need evil to glorify himself. God is glorified. He doesn't need anything to glorify him. He's already glorified. But there was a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Or why did he put it there? I don't know. That's something I want to ask him when I get to heaven. And he may say it's none of your business, or you wouldn't understand, but I am going to ask, why'd you put that there? And God told the couple, he told the man first, he said, don't eat off of that tree. He said, you can eat any tree in there. And you know what other tree was there? The tree of life. That if they ate of it, they would live forever. I've had people say, well, you know, they didn't understand what death was. Really? Then why did God tell them you'll die if you eat the other tree? Well, you know, they just didn't understand. My Bible says that God formed the animals and the birds out of the ground and brought them to the man, to Adam, and whatever Adam named them, that's what God called them. That isn't some troglodyte, some caveman that walked around and grunted. He was a highly intelligent being. He named the animals. So don't tell me that he didn't understand death. He was made in the image of God. He was the Son of God. Why a lady in the Nazarene church got so mad at me for saying it? I said, read the book of Luke. It traces the ancestry according to the flesh from Jesus all the way back to Adam. It says Adam was the Son of God, but he wasn't the Son of God. I said, oh my gosh, let's not get off on this. Adam was the Son of God. Formed out of the ground, God breathed into his nostrils, he became a man. Yeah. Put him in a garden, everything he needed was there, but he still had to work. That's God's idea, guys. I hear people talk about work like it's a four-letter word, and they do everything they can to avoid it. And it's just terrible. Greg was talking about our rights, our rights. Work is God's idea. I don't know what the man did in there. I don't know what he had to do in there, what he and Eve had to do. But they worked because God didn't say, I'm going to put you in there and you just lay around in the shade and eat fruit and, you know, just have a blast. He said, I got some stuff for you to do here. There's some work for you to do. And while they're busy doing what God had told them to do, here shows the serpent. Now, I personally wouldn't talk to a snake. They think that the snake might have been a pet. I don't know. But if Satan was going to tempt me, it had to have been a monkey or a dog or something, because I'm not going to talk to a snake. And it said the snake started the conversation, and we know who the snake is. In Revelation chapter 12, it says Michael and the angels fought against Satan and his angels. And it said that old dragon, the old serpent, who is the devil and Satan. So we know who the serpent is. Eve didn't at the time. I really don't think she knew. This snake come up, start talking to her. And what's the first thing he did? He used doubt. Did God actually say? And then he twisted God's words. Did God actually say you couldn't eat off of any tree in here? And Eve answered correctly and said, no, we can eat any tree in here except that one. And he said, don't eat that. And then she added to it, I mean, from what the scripture, and don't even touch it or you're going to die. There's the enchanter. There's the whisperer. And church, it still goes on today. It just breaks my heart. I hear churches misquote, misuse the word of God. And I hear their thinking, their justification is, well, now, is that what God really meant? I know the Bible says, but is that what God really meant? You know, when people say that to me, what I hear? Say. I hear that whisperer. And God help us, he's got into a lot of the churches today. When I was in Bible college, the Methodist Articles of Faith, and I'm not picking on Methodists, but it's an example, their Articles of Faith stated the Bible is the inerrant, infallible Word of God. A couple years ago, I read their Articles of Faith, and they said, while we believe the Bible is the Word of God, it's not necessarily inerrant and infallible. That's what that is. That's that old snake. Did God really say? Well, times have changed. So, God doesn't change. God's word is the truth or it's not. If it's not the truth, let's throw it away and write our own book like Jehovah's Witness and Mormons have done. Let's write our own Bibles. something we can deal with, something we can live with. You know, there was only one law on the planet. Forrest Gump could have memorized that. Don't eat off that tree. That was the only law. Man and woman had the only law they needed. And the serpent said, did God really say? And she said, well, yeah, he did. He said, we can't eat off of that. Then what did he do? He lied. Actually, he lied and he told the truth. You think about it. What was his lie? You won't die. What was the truth? If you eat that tree, you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. How do I know that's the truth? Because before he drove the man out of the garden, what did God say? Now the man's become like one of us, knowing good and evil. So see, that wasn't a lie. You'll know good and evil if you eat off that tree. But you'll be just like God. That's a lie. There's no one like God. We his children, we his followers, we're not gods. We're nowhere near gods. We are his children by adoption. Those of us who have come to Jesus Christ, he's our heavenly Father. So the devil said, well, you won't die. God's holding out on you. God's holding back on you. God just doesn't want you to know what he knows. And if you'll eat that tree, you'll know just what he knows. I had one professor tell me that they were teaching on the nature of sin. And I'd been reading systematic theology with another gentleman that didn't believe in it, and I agreed with him. After I read his theology, I said, I see what he's saying. I don't believe in a sin nature. And he said, well, Adam and Eve were not tempted from within. Because I made a point one day in class, I said, wait a minute. Adam and Eve didn't have a nature of sin, did they? No, they were very good, but they sinned. The holy angels don't have a sin nature, do they? No, but they sinned. What did they have? Choice. Free will. And there'll be people that's going to hear this on the internet that's going to mock me and ridicule me, and that's okay. I had one guy on Facebook just try to tear me up once, and I believe in predestination, pre-election. Yeah, I could tell he was a Calvinist. And I finally said, well, I guess I'm predestined not to be a Calvinist. And that ended the conversation. God created evil to glorify himself. Baloney. God created sin. Baloney. What did the Bible say happened when they ate this fruit? It said sin and death entered the world. God did not create that. God warned the man and the woman. He said, if you eat off that tree, you're going to die. And the scriptures say sin and death entered the world. So I tell people when they complain to me, you know, God lets all this evil go on. God didn't do this. Men did it. You want to blame somebody? Blame us. We're the ones that disobeyed. Well, doesn't God care about all this suffering? Yes, he does. He hears every abused child. He hears every abused person. He hears all these people that's in this slave trade going on, this sex trade. God hears every one of their cries and their moans. Well, why doesn't he do something? The scriptures say just because God doesn't punish sin immediately, men think he never will. But he will. The scriptures talk about him storing up his wrath. And if people don't repent, there'll come a day, church, that we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and those people will give an account. God will make them account for every tear that was shed, all the pain that was caused. They're going to give an account, but it's in his time. You know, when you look at this passage here, as far as I'm concerned, I'm kind of hard-nosed. God had every right to come into the garden and kill Adam and Eve right on the spot. I told you not to do that. Well, he didn't. When people like to tell me about the God of the Old Testament, he's wrathful, he's vengeful. You know, Don gave me a newsletter that came in a week or so ago, and it's addressed to the lead pastor, so I took it home and read it. I tore it up and threw it away. In essence, it was good in places, but in essence, they said, everything bad in the Old Testament happened, that wasn't God, that was the devil. God just did good. God's good. God just did good. That wasn't God punishing Israel, that was the devil. What book are you reading? God had every right to take these two people out, as far as I'm concerned. Just to take them out. Just say, I warned you, that's it. But he didn't. What was the result of their disobedience or sin? The first thing was shame. Adam ate the fruit and he said, oh my gosh. Woman, you're naked. And she said, so are you. And I can see them trying to cover themselves up, and they sewed these loincloths together, trying to hide their nakedness. And what was the next thing? Fear and guilt. They heard God coming. They heard him walking in the garden, his voice in the garden. What did it say? They hid from him. For the first time in their lives, they had to hide. That's what sin does. God said to the Jews during the prophecy of Isaiah, my arm's not too short to save you. It's your sins that have separated you from me. What a price they paid. Adam said, I was afraid and I was naked, so I hid. And God said, who told you you were naked? Adam went, that woman you gave me? Yeah. Did you eat of the fruit? Well, you know. I didn't ask for her, by the way. That was your idea. So the blame game started. I don't watch talk shows. I don't like them. But I always thought one time I'd like to see some guy on there say, no, my parents were pretty decent. I'm just a boogerhead. You know, I just made the choices I made. I'm a rapist or a murderer or whatever just because I decided that's what I was going to do. But what do they always want? They want to blame mom and dad. It's somebody else's fault. God said, Adam, did you eat that fruit? The manly thing should have been, yes, sir, I did. The woman that you gave me, she talked me into it. Did that matter? No, it didn't matter to God whether Eve talked Adam into it, the snake talked him into it, Adam chose to do it. And the same thing went for Eve. They had the authority. God gave them authority over all of creation. They had the authority to tell that snake, you get out of here. God did tell us not to eat it, and we're not going to eat it. That's why I believe in free will. God put the tree there and said, I don't eat off of that tree, or you'll die. They made a free will choice. The snake helped them along. He kind of tried talking them into it. He didn't make them do it. He just suggested it, and they freely chose to eat the fruit. So the next time somebody tells you that God's not a just God, God's not a good God, look at all the evil, just look right back at him and say, it's your fault. I was working with druggies for a while. One lady come in there and started griping. Stinking family services took my kids. Why? Well, just because me and my boyfriend do drugs. Oh. I've had the stinking cops at my house. Looking for stuff. Why? Well, because they know we do drugs. Okay. And she went through this list, and even the dopers were getting tired of it. I could see them meth heads sitting there going, oh, man, I just can't take much more of this. And I looked at her, and I said, honey, do me a favor when you get home. She goes, what? I said, go look in the mirror. What do I want to do that for? I said, because that lady looking at you is the center of your problems. It's not family services. It's not the police department. It's you. I said, you chose your drugs over your children. So the state took your children away. You broke the law, so a judge put you in jail. You guys are doing drugs, so yeah, the cops are watching you. And I said, you know what? It all comes back to you, sweetheart. You look in the mirror, and that lady looking at you is the center of your problems. She got up and left and never came back. When she walked out the door, the other dopers went, thank you, man. I heard all that I wanted to hear. But we like to play the blame game, don't we? Well, I was abused when I was a kid. That's why I turned out to be such a knothead. No, you choose to be a knothead. You know it's wrong, don't you? We don't have a sin nature, church. We have a self nature. It's all about us. We're egocentric. The whole universe should revolve around me. One of my daughters got to writing poetry one time, 16 years old, never lived a life, and she'd write all this woe and dark poetry. And I said, number one, you have no life experience. You don't know what you're talking about in your poetry. I said, but from reading your poetry, let me tell you what I think you ought to write. I think that I shall never see anyone more deserving of my sympathy than me. I said, that's how your poetry comes across. And that's what I hear out of people. It's all God's fault. If he's holy and just and good, why is there so much suffering going on? God didn't do it. We did. That's what we got to get in our minds. It's our fault. It's not God's. God could have wiped him out, but what did he do? He come in here and he goes, well, I got a plan. There's going to be a man come out of the woman. And he looked at the snake and said, he's going to bruise your head. You're going to bruise his heel. You're going to hurt him, but he's going to hurt you worse. And he didn't decide that on the spur of the moment. I love that. God didn't back up and go, no, well, now what am I going to do? What do I do now? Boy, I'm not sure. Paul said before the foundation of the world, God predestined us to be adopted as his children through Jesus Christ. Peter said that we were redeemed before the foundation of the world. Some people will see that's pre-election. No, the plan of salvation was preordained, which tells me God knew what was going to happen and he already had a plan. He already had a design for us. God looked at the serpent and said, there's a dude coming. That's my words. That's not the Hebrew. There's a dude coming out of the woman. And buddy, you're in trouble when he gets here. Paul said sin and death came into the world through a man. So righteousness had to come into the world through a man. Tell me God isn't just. Man screwed it up. God sent his son as a man and said, you're going to have to fix this, son. That's a just God. Yeah. That's a merciful God because he could have killed them both and had every right to wipe them out. What did he do? Did you know the first thing I read that I noticed? It said he made garments for them out of animal skins. The first thing he did was cover their nakedness. God said them leaves ain't going to get it, boys. Now when he clothed them with animal skins, that's the first example of blood atonement we have in the Old Testament. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. God shed the blood of some animals to atone for their sin. Now, that's my opinion. And he clothed their nakedness. And he said to the devil and the man and the woman, there's a man coming. He's going to come out of the woman. He's going to be unique. But there's a man coming, and he's going to set this right. Now, that's my hillbilly. God said, he's going to set this right. He's going to undo what you did. What a God. He knew what was going to happen, and he did it anyway. He didn't create evil. I don't believe in the nature of sin. As I said, the holy angels sinned, no sin nature. Adam and Eve sinned, no sin nature. That's just man trying to blame God for things that happen, as far as I'm concerned. If I have a nature of sin, I have the best excuse in the world to sin, and a just God would let me get away with it. He'd say that's all he knows. But what did he say when he drove him out of the garden? Now he knows good and evil. Did he want us to know evil? No. They were very good. They were pure. But they had a choice they had to make. They made the wrong one. Sometimes in my own life, you know, I get irritated and think, God, why are you letting this happen? I talked to a friend of mine the other day, and his shop burnt down. He had 4 Harley Davidsons and an Oldsmobile in it. And I'm like, oh, man. I went out there and seen it, you know. And he said, always heard God wouldn't put more on you than you could stand. He said, I've had about all I can stand. Well, don't tell me that. Tell him. Now, he's a Christian? I don't know. I really don't, but I felt for him, especially the Harleys. Oh, man, not the Harleys. I mean, and an Oldsmobile, a nice Oldsmobile, the older Oldsmobile, the classic Oldsmobile. I said, well, you know, Mother Teresa one time said that she read in the Bible that God wouldn't put more on us than we could take. And she said, sometimes I wish he didn't trust me so much. You know, we feel like that, but God's a good God. Yeah. God's designed for man. He created them good, very good. They went very bad, but God said, I'm not done yet. That's what we're going to talk about this month, this Christmas season, the birth of a Savior. Yeah, God said, I already got this all figured out, kids. I'm going to take care of this. Even though he wasn't the one that did wrong, he said, I'll take care of this. So the next time you might want to grumble or whine or complain about the way things are going, just remember something. God's in control. Yeah. And when you hear people bashing God about the condition of this world, you should know that's not God's fault. We did this. When I say we, I mean mankind. We've done this. God's provided a remedy. He's provided a way to save us from this terrible mess that we've got ourselves in, and that's through Jesus Christ. As Greg talked about at the table, God became a man. He who knew no sin became sin for us. What a God. That gives us something to smile about. Yeah, as far as I'm concerned. You know, last week we was talking about the Thanksgiving faith, and I mentioned that 27 million turkeys were going to be served on American tables. And 10 million pounds of ham? Boy, we're gluttons. But I was preaching at one church and I said, if you can't think of nothing else to be thankful for, thank God you're not a turkey or a hog. You know, that's just the way I see things sometimes. We got something to be thankful for, don't we? I serve a risen Savior. You ask me how I know He lives? He lives within my heart. Yeah. This isn't God's fault. This world we live in, it wasn't His design, it wasn't His plan. But He already had a plan, a backup plan, because He knew what was going to happen. We're the ones that messed it up. Someday He's returning. The Bible said there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. God said you'll look for the wicked and they won't even be a memory. That's the world I'm looking forward to living in, aren't you? Yeah. No more sin, no more death, no more pain, no more sorrow. But right now we're here in enemy territory and we've got a task to do, church. We're to be salt and light. We're to speak the truth. We're to live the truth. We're to glorify God by what we do. That's our call. And we're to share this hope with those who don't have any hope right now. Would you stand with me this morning? I bet you thought you was getting out of here early because there wasn't very many people here. And we got through the song service quick, but y'all know me better than that by now. Isn't God a good God? I said, you know, I think last week, sometimes it does us well to pray and not ask for anything, just to thank Him. Think about all that He's done in your life, where He brought you from, and give thanks. As we sang on the prayer song, giving thanks. There's not a thing wrong in the world with that.